This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. This is God's word. Thank you. It's very rare that January 1st lands on a Sunday. It happens so often. It won't happen again. I looked into it until 2034. So it's going to be a few years. And on this day, I came across this one study. On this day, today, about 38.5% of U.S. adults are setting New Year's resolutions for the year ahead. Of those, 59% of them will be young adults in the age range of 18 to 34. 48% of those who set New Year's resolutions want to exercise more, making it the most popular New Year's resolution. The top three are all health related. 23% of those who set New Year's resolutions will quit within the first week. And only 36% make it past the first month. And 9% successfully keep their New Year's resolutions. You and I are probably on the same page that most of the time New Year's resolutions are bogus. And it reminds me of that Russian proverb that says, you know, we live pretty good lives. We live worse than last year, but we certainly live better than next year. Nonetheless, when it comes to the beginning of the year, I don't know about you, but for me, it's always a time of assessment and reflection, looking at my life, where I'm at with the Lord, where I'm at in my personal life and such. And when thinking about January 1st, the verse Genesis 1:1 came to my mind. In the beginning, or at the beginning of the year, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's at the beginning of our lives? What's at the beginning of our time? What's at the beginning of our ambitions? What's at the beginning of the decisions that we make? What's at the beginning of our goals? What's the first factor? What's the driving force? We want to take time to see how God is to be at the beginning of everything and see how that flows through the decisions we make in light of the year ahead. Have you ever, when you were a child, have you ever come across your parents were talking in the other room and you just wanted to hear what they were saying, so you kind of very quietly went up to the door where they were talking and you put your ear against the door and you try to make out what they were saying? I'd like to take us
to a door. I'd like to bring us back in time to this door. We're going to go back before you and I were born. We'll go back before this church existed. Back before Dodgeville was founded. Back before America was discovered. Back even before Jesus walked this earth in his earthly ministry days. Back before the flood came over the whole earth. Back before Adam and Eve were walking in the Garden of Eden. I'd like to take you back to the very beginning. And there is a door. It's at the beginning of Genesis 1:1. We can't go past that door. It's not for us. But we can put our ear against the door and listen. As we put our ear against the door, what do we hear? We hear God. We don't hear the birds singing. We don't hear the waterfalls. There's no wind to brush past our face. There's no sunrise to behold. There's no snow to go sledding on or shovel. There's nothing. There's no one except God. We realize that God is alone. There's nobody else but God. But something mysteriously enough, we realize that although God is alone, God is not lonely. In some mysterious way, we recognize that God within himself is sharing and communicating and having love between this triad relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we listen, we can't make out what's being said, but we catch words and phrases here and there, such as create, horses, human, government, cross, lamb. We can't quite make it all out, but we catch bits and pieces of these words and phrases, but we don't know what it is. Well, just as when a child, you're eavesdropping against the door and maybe somebody comes up and catches you doing it. Well, let's say an angel comes up to us and says, "What are you doing?" And you say, "Oh, I was just listening." And the angel says, "Well, what do you want to know?" But one thing we want to know is, what is it all about? What is it all about? And the angel says, I'll share with you something. It's not written yet, but I'll share it with you. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And the angel says, in the beginning it's about God. Your life is about God. Now go back to your room. And so we come back to our own day and age, and we think about that. We think about everything around us at the beginning, everything had to do about God. Jesus himself said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Imagine what Dodgeville was like in the year 732 BC. I mean, some of us, not me, but some of you have lived here your whole lives, and this is home. But imagine Dodgeville before there was any, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Native Americans, I don't know. But just bear with me. Say there were no humans around this area at that time, 732 BC. What would this plot of land look like? Would there be a tree coming up in the pulpit where I'm standing? Would there be a field where animals just grazed. What did it look like? What the angel has told us is that even at that moment, even though there were no human beings around to cultivate and build and have families, everything that existed here had God as its beginning. Every blade of grass was created for the glory of God. Every flower that bloomed in spring was hand-painted by God out of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we come back to our rooms and we ponder that and we think to ourselves, if that's the case, that everything has at its beginning point about God, then God should be in the beginning of my life and the beginning of your life. Is God in the beginning of our lives? When somebody looks at our lives and sees our lives, can they say that person exists because of and for God? As Christians, it should be. But we can ask the question, is that really the case for me? Is it really the case that if somebody went to the beginning of my purpose, they would see God? Somebody once came to Jesus and asked him, what's the chief end of man? Not in those words. He used the words, what's the greatest commandment? What's the thing we are to do, the purpose? Interestingly, Jesus did not say to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. He said, the first commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang the prophets and the law. It's not that everything in our lives are just neat and tidy, squeaky clean, but that everything about our lives and what we do has God as its factor. Last week, I used an illustration using tea. And I don't know why I'm on a beverage kick, but for all of us avid coffee drinkers, which I am an avid coffee drinker, I'll use coffee this morning. When you think of a coffee beverage, and you picture it in your mug, the last thing you think about is water. Right? If I were to ask you, would you like a cup of coffee? You're not thinking water. You're thinking the coffee, the beans that got roasted and then ground and then brewed. And as you hold that mug, you think of the coffee that's there. That's what Jesus means when he says that everything about us is about God. That when they look to us, they're not thinking about us as much as they're thinking about God. They're not thinking about water. Even though we are water, we are the carriers. We don't equate the coffee, if you will, but we are the carriers of that. And somebody looks at us that they think of God. Now, some might feel uncomfortable with me comparing God to coffee. There might be others who think that's right up my alley. But think about it. It permeates. It's the beginning point. A.W. Tozer was a leader in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and on his gravestone is a small gravestone. It's not one of the tall ones. It's the little block one. And it says, A.W. Tozer, a man of God. That was a summary of his life. I want that to be the summary of my life. I want that to be my epitaph. That it's the case that Alex is a man of God. That we want to be a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God. If somebody were to write if you read in the newsletter, there was an article submitted about obituaries. If someone were to write our obituary in the beginning, what would it be about? But let's get more specific as we ponder this idea of in the beginning. Well, in the beginning of my life, yes, but what about in the beginning of my time? In the beginning of my time, God or me? Many of us wake up by the sound of an alarm clock. I set an alarm clock, but most of the time I wake up to the sound of a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed baby blowing raspberries. But at the beginning of our time, at the beginning of the moment we wake up, can we say that that moment is about God? Do our minds automatically think about our Heavenly Father? Are we already geared in the direction of how we can cultivate that communion with God? Even if we can't slip out of bed and get at our desk and have our quiet times, is it still first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds? The Bible says that God watches us when we sleep. Just as a parent would, as they look at their child sleeping and they just see them and they're so peaceful and they're looking at them, so our Heavenly Father, the Bible says in Psalm 121, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is, as your Heavenly Father, watching you, sheltering you, while you're in a different realm. And how pleasant would it be the moment we come out of that realm that we often have no control over, and to open our eyes and there's our Heavenly Father watching over us. Our days, our hours, our minutes. It's not that every single second of our lives is, you know, we're in prayer or we're reading the Bible every single second, but that if you look at the way our days and times and minutes and schedules are ordered, in the beginning, God. There's a bent, there's a direction. Moses said in Psalm 90, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Many of us might have our Heavenly Father involved in our time that we schedule, but what about our free time? This is something I stumble over. What about our free time? Free time might be free from our employers. Free time might be free from our domestic responsibilities, but is our free time free from God? We can have that relationship where He grants us to be able to enjoy reading that book or watching that family film or spending time with our family, however we spend it, but is it really free from the influence of God? Do we have our free time in this little box that we have for ourselves that nobody and nothing is going to touch and handle? In the beginning of my life, God or me. In the beginning of my time, God or me. In the beginning of my health, God or me. And I bring this up because when you read those statistics, everybody's thinking about health. But I have to ask the question, is it about God or is it about me? Yes, as Christians, we honor God with the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we have to ask the question, when it comes to people who say, okay, I'm going to get into shape and I'm going to be healthy, is that pursuit really about God? Or is it about me? Is His getting buff about God? Is her getting slim about God? No, most of the time when you ask a person, it's about a deep envy for a person on a magazine. A deep envy for a person as a movie star. Just imagine that there's this man who wants to have a right relationship with God, that he's got this bent where he struggles with lust. It's a real struggle that he has. and somebody encourages him and says, well, why don't you start a gym membership? That might help take your mind off of things. And so he says, okay, I'll do that. He gets his gym membership. He goes to the gym, and what's there? A bunch of people gathering together, half of which are women who are wearing things ridiculously more revealing than need to be. And there he is in the cycle machine chasing after them. Perhaps for him to put God first in his health would be to do a Rocky Balboa style and go for a walk outside and spend time with God in prayer as he walks or runs. But you see, everything, it's not whether it's a good or a bad thing, but whether the thing has God at the beginning. In the beginning of my relationships, God or me. Think of the family. The American dream pressures us to cultivate an environment where we have a happy family. But the Bible tells us that we are to cultivate an environment where we have a holy family. And so when it comes to our families and our relationships within our families, particularly, at the beginning of our relationships, is it God or is it me? In the beginning of our work, we all have jobs or things that we do and go about our day and tasks we fulfill. But those of us who are employed and go to work in that sense, is this some sort of secular category which we have on this side of our lives? And then over here is our God category that we are involved with here this morning and sometimes throughout the week. Or do we see that even at the beginning of our work, God? Do we see our work environment as a mission field? Do we see that the task God has given us is us serving for our boss, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we work hard to honor Him and serve our employer with honesty and integrity, and even see our coworkers as people that we can share the gospel to, both in our deeds and in our words. In the beginning of my possessions, in the beginning of those things that God has entrusted to me, is it God or is it me? Somebody once came to Jesus and they said, teacher, tell me what I must do to gain an eternal life. And he looked at him and he said, well, follow the commandments. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. But he knew this man had a problem with greed. And so the young man said, these all I have kept since my youth. And Jesus looked at him and said, okay, go. Sell everything you have. Then you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. And the Bible says that that young man walked away. He didn't come back. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now Jesus is not saying, therefore, sell everything you have. What he's getting at the beginning of our possessions, God or me? Is God at the beginning of what we own, what we do with what He's given us, how we invest it, how we use it? Has God got His brand? You know, when you think of a clothing brand, there's somewhere on that article of clothing, a brand or a product, there's something on that product, a brand name, a picture, a symbol. And every single thing that we own, God has a stamp on. And if it doesn't, we probably shouldn't own it. Somebody anonymously said, if we have God in all things, while they are ours, we shall have all things in God when they are taken away. And the beginning of our church. What we do when we gather here, God, is God at the beginning or is it me? Do I go to church to satisfy a craving for social interaction, for emotional stability? Or do I go because I love God and I want to worship God and I want to be a blessing and an encouragement and I want to serve Him and He's at the forefront? Let me just go down the list. In the beginning, God or me? In the beginning, God or me? Fill in the blank. Find in your heart or in my heart where that area is. In the beginning of it, God or me? We have the privilege as Christians to have God work in and through us so that He has the first and foremost place in our hearts. And then everything we do under His control and under His authority gives us a sense of oneness with who we are and who God has made us to be. I came across this quote by George MacDonald who said, "The man to whom God is all in all, that man has begun to be alive indeed." I know we can't go past that door. We can't see what's on the past of that Genesis 1:1. But we know Genesis 1:1 said, "In the beginning, God." And so when it comes to my life, when it comes to my time, when it comes to my health, when it comes to my relationships, when it comes to my possessions, when it comes to my work, when it comes to my pursuits, when it comes to my decisions, is it about God or is it about me? And I guarantee this Christian life we live is going to be a struggle and a fight between the two scales of that question. It's not like you're going to reach a point in this life when 110% everything you think and do is perfectly, yes, God at the first. But we can, in our relationship with God, have Him work to balance the scales, to permeate our decisions. I'll close by having you look in your bulletins at that chart that I came across. Let me grab it behind me here. This is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's the hours per day spent in selected activities by gender and day in the year 2021. So this is a summary of in the country, ages, male, female, and it gives the average hours per day. The first there says personal care, including sleep. So this includes things like grooming and health-related things and sleep, about 9 hours and 45 minutes. Eating and drinking per day, an average of 1 hour and 15 minutes. Household activities, just under 2 hours, and, you know, cleaning, food prep, lawn care. Purchasing goods and services, about 40 minutes. If you jump down to working and work-related activities, about 3.5 hour minutes. And some of us are like, what? What jobs are they working? No. They're averaging out the week, so including the weekends and time off. Educational activities down. Jump down to organizational, civic, and religious activities. Looking at that, it says that the average time spent per day for religious activities is 6 minutes. And I would believe that included in that category is something like prayer. The next category is leisure and sports. 5.5 hours per day. About 20 minutes of that is the sports side. Now, this is an average of everybody in the country that they interviewed or whatever. Now, this obviously is different for a Christian. It should be. But it's not how many seconds are you putting to each category. But if you were to write your name at the top of this chart, is this in the beginning God? Or in the beginning me? And that's the challenge for 2023 for myself. And for all of us here this morning. Having our lives being about that Genesis 1:1 purpose. In the beginning, God. Amen? Let's come before Him in prayer. Lord in heaven, thank You so much for this time that we can look at Your Word and assess ourselves. I thank You for Your love, which is greater than we can imagine. And even in those secret councils, You so love the world. You so loved us. As we come to the table of remembering Your death for us, I pray that we would remember our call to be a living sacrifice for You. In Jesus' name, amen.